sleep. I'm speaking more of the rest that comes by his presence. The title of the word will be His Presence, Our Rest. Jackie's in shock there that I would actually have that before starting the word. Amen. His rest is something that is largely, I think, misunderstood by people, because often people will think in terms of relating to God that to rest is to be passive, is not to be reaching in or seeking Him. And I don't think we really understand, and I don't think we will understand unless it's a revelation to us, what His rest means. His rest is when we can accept His presence and the place His presence wants to have in our life. It's a relational reality. It has to do with our relationship to Him. It's not about our human state, whether we're active or passive or what's going on in our soul, on a soul level. It's knowing and accepting the relationship that He has created with us by the Spirit. Now, in order to really embrace His rest, we need to, I think, face and deal with the unrest that we have as human beings. The dissonance we have in our own thoughts, the conflicting emotions that we experience. I think if any of us are honest, we'd have to say that on a soul level, we experience anything but rest. To be a human being in this world and to live in your own soul means you're going to be in a lot of conflict, a lot of battle. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not experiencing His rest or that His rest is not available. His rest comes from the Spirit. And to be there, we allow Him to bring, I would call it a transcending within our life, where we are able to walk in the Spirit and not be just stuck in our own soul where there's that conflict and battle. Now, in dealing with the unrest of the soul, I think people turn to many, many different avenues to escape that. And I think escape is the key word there. They try to find answers for their problems. When that doesn't work, they say, well, I just don't want to feel this pain. I don't want to be in a constant battle, so I'll numb it. And that's why addiction has been an area highlighted, especially in the times we live in. What are people doing? Why is addiction so prevalent? Well, people want to numb the pain of living in the human soul. There's that constant state of unrest, and if you can't resolve it within yourself, you can't find the answers, you can't figure it out, you can't work out of it, then you just want it to go away. Since it doesn't go away when you say go away, you say, I've got to numb that. A lot of different ways people deal with this. Of course, there's substance abuse, but also religious addiction is a big way that people deal with the pain and unrest in their own soul. Get caught up in that religious striving and religious energy, and you try to put to death or numb what has been painful. Now, numbness is not rest. To be in the rest of the Lord is to be fully alive in His relationship with Him. Numbness is like death. You just don't feel. Let's not mix up the two. What God has opened a door for us, a door that no one will shut, is to enter into His rest. That is a living, vital, intimate relationship with Him. It's not passive. It's not a state of being sedated or numb. You're fully alive in Him. I think it may be the only answer for the conflict we have in our human soul. Since we're created in His image, maybe we're not meant to work out of all the soulish struggles we find ourselves in. Maybe there's a part of us that God says, I've created you the way you are, so that you will never find rest apart from me. Just a thought. As we continue to struggle and try to find plan B, plan C, plan D, I think maybe after enough time when all of our alternate plans fail, we'll come back to the original plan A. We need God, and we need that living relationship with Him. Now, this came to me during the worship, and I didn't have this before, but turn with me to Matthew 14. We're going to talk about rest and unrest for just a moment. In Matthew 14 is the account of Jesus walking on the water. The disciples were out in a boat, and of course it starts in verse 22. And there were just very heavy waves. They were caught in a storm. And the storm was caused by this high winds. Now, to me, again, this is a perfect type of our experience. Going through life, the winds kick up, we're caught in the storm and turmoil, and even we can figure out what the problem is. Well, the problem is the wind. They figured it out. If the wind dies down, well, there won't be the high waves, and our boat will be okay. We build this boat as part of our personality, part of our defenses, part of our religious nature. We're trying to survive the storms in life. I think that's a big deal why people become so rigid in their theology and their doctrine. It's part of that boat. Life is so uncertain, and we just have to be, people become rigid and legalistic, again, trying to survive the storm in their own soul of uncertainty, not knowing. This is not what life's about. Life is not about hiding in our boat and trying to build a bigger and stronger boat to survive storms. Life in God is not about survival. It's about the abundant life. It's about Him. But I think when we're on a soul level and we're our emotions and our mind are ruling, we're in a survival mode. It's kind of like life is rough. Just give me a boat strong enough to weather the storms. Well, survival is one thing. Walking with Jesus is another. Jesus is walking on the water to him. Verse 27, he says, "Take courage, it's I, do not be afraid." Verse 28, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat. Here to me is the key to the rest of the Lord. Now there's not, when you, as we're reading this, nothing restful is taking place. The disciples are in a physical place where it certainly isn't peaceful. The boat is being rocked by these giant waves. There's no rest in a soul level. They're scared to death. They're going to die. They see in a verse above that, it said they saw Jesus. They thought it was a ghost. They cried out in fear. They're not having an epiphany at this point. They're scared to death. Yet look at what's taking place in the midst of this storm. Jesus looks at Peter. Peter looks. Jesus says, "It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter says, "If it's really you, command me to come to you." Jesus says, "Come." Here is how rest works. Our thinking says, "I'll have rest when the storms die down." God says, "You'll have rest when you find me. Then the storms will die down." That's our conflict. Because when the storms die down, we still don't have rest. Why? Take away those winds. Take away the waves. The boat is steady. The disciples still have their own fears. They're still not at rest. They still don't know who the Lord is. God quiets down our circumstances, and that unrest still grows within our own soul. Why? Because only a relationship with Him can answer that. So that unrest we have inside, that anxiety we have inside, does what? Creates new storms. What is the answer? Jesus Christ, the reality of that person, is always walking to you, toward you. He is speaking to you to come out of your boat, out of your fears, out of your conditioning, the boat of your thinking, how no matter how well you've tried to figure things out of your theology, out of your doctrine, out of your knowledge, out of your sense of trying to control everything by this boat will make it through life, I've built it just a certain way, come out of that and walk to the person. He is our rest. We've defined rest as being an absence of conflict, right? That's how I would define it in the natural. But God defines rest as knowing the relationship we have with Him. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is our rest. We're created in His image, so we can never have true inner rest without knowing that relationship. So here comes Peter out of the boat, coming toward Jesus, walking on the water. Then he looks around in verse 30 and begins to sink because he becomes afraid. This process of rest, of coming to the Lord, what happens? We become aware of what? Our tremendous capacity to walk on water, how spiritual we are. Jesus said, "Come and look at me." You know what happens? As you begin to follow the Spirit, you become aware of your fears. Peter became afraid and he started to sink. We experience that sinking in life. Is it because we're not spiritual? No, it's because we are spiritual, because we're coming to the Lord. Jesus took his hand and said, "You have little faith, why do you doubt?" What did Jesus do? Pulled him back up. This is the process of finding rest and finding who the Lord is. We never find it in our boat. Our boat of religion, our boat of our own mind, our own emotions. We have to come out. When he says come, the Holy Spirit is saying come. This new day is about an open door. We enter into something new. What is it? It's a step of faith. Faith in what? Faith in his love for you. That you can step out of your fears and you begin to walk toward him. And then what happens? You begin to deal with your fears, like Peter. We experience the sinking not because we're not spiritual enough, because the Lord has to reach down and take his hand. It brings us to the realization that we only can walk because it's his hand is equipping us. It's his hand that pulls us out. I like what Bruce said earlier about his provision. We believe in him. He carries us. Okay, how does that become a reality? It's when you're out there on the water stepping out in faith and sinking, and you have faith in your own fears, and his hand reaches out and grabs your hand, and you believe in him. And then all of a sudden you're aware of he's carrying you through your life. Now, they got in the boat, and what happened? The wind stopped. The initial problem, the wind that caused this whole storm to rage, this great horrible problem that caused Peter to know who Jesus Christ was, that he could walk on water and the Lord would help him and save him from his fears. Look at the wonderful realization that Peter came into. All because there was a raging storm. But you see, that storm stopped once the relationship was there. We want the storms to stop, and then, Lord, I'll get out of the boat and I'll test it. Maybe I can walk on water. I'll try it little by little. It's the storms in your life that draw out the faith. If there aren't storms, you will stay in your boat. We all seek comfort and security. By nature, we're that way. So the very storms you're praying for to end are there to bring you to the Lord. And I wish I could tell you something else. But I think that's the way it is. The storms that plague us on a soulish level and our mind and emotions that we just cry out to God to end are there to bring us out of our boat of security, where we can learn how to walk in faith and come to who he is, our Lord. And what do we find? We find rest. I think it's the highest level of faith we come into with rest. So often when we pray, we have a measure of faith for things. God can do this, God can do that. Rest is knowing the relationship you have with him. Knowing him, rest connects you to the person behind the answers. You're not just saying, God, I believe you can heal. When we're at rest, we're saying, God, you are our healer. Very, very deep level of faith. This was going on in the conflict in the wilderness, and you can read this later in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4, talks about the Israelites and how they failed to enter into the rest the Lord had for them. And the rest of the Lord is described in the fourth chapter as we are resting from our own labors. Verse 4:10 says, "For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. So this state of rest is our striving, and a lot of this is religious too. Our works, we escape that trap. To find his rest is to find that place in his presence. Because so much of our works and striving is we're trying to prove something to God or to others. We're trying to find ourselves approved. And when you have rest, you know where you stand in him. And there is nothing left to prove. Then his works can just flow through you. Chapter 3, verse 10, I want to read this. It says, "They did not know my ways, and I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest." Again, speaking of the Israelites. They did not know my ways, they shall not enter my rest. So really, if we go back to that time where these chapters are talking about, where the Israelites didn't enter into his rest, it's that they didn't want the relationship to know the ways of the Lord. Remember the word says, Moses knew his ways, the Israelites knew his acts. It comes back to the reality of relationship. You go back and read about their account in the wilderness, how God gave them a law. And again, there's no real rest with the law, is there? Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. Boy, that puts you in a tense state right from the get-go, doesn't it? I'm going to be rewarded. I got to do everything right. When I do things wrong, I'm going to be punished. There's no rest in that whole realm of the law. And that's what the Israelites knew. But why did they have a law? When God said, I want a people for my own possession, I want to bring you to my mountain where you can worship me. In other words, what was he saying? I want a relationship with you. They said, Moses, you go up. We're not looking for that. We want to get out of Egypt. This land of promise sounds really good, where we can have our own land flowing with milk and honey. We'll buy into that. But this God that wants something personal and close, we're afraid of that. You go up and get it for us. What did he get for him? He didn't bring back a relationship, did he? He brought back a law. And whenever we create distance, that's the realm that we're captured by, that realm of law. And that realm has no rest. But you know, at the same time that Moses was getting all this law, chapter 33 talks about him, and I'm going to read that real quick. Actually, him meeting the Lord. He's experiencing relationship. Exodus 33. I'm sorry, did I say Matthew?
You didn't say.
I didn't say. I wasn't wrong, I just wasn't giving you a complete answer. You can read this later in chapter 33, verse 11. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. How did he speak to the people? Tablets of stone. Thou shalt not. Chapter 34, verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. What's happening here? God is appearing to Moses, because Moses cried out earlier, show me your glory. Do you see what's taking place? You have people that are being given a law and basically are in a state of unrest. And the Lord said later of those people, they failed to enter in because of what? Their disobedience, their unbelief. The law is about what you do and don't do. His presence and rest is about entering in, isn't it? But both things were happening at the same time. Tablets of stone for the masses. And here's Moses standing and seeing the glory of God, experiencing the compassion, the loving kindness of God. Where do we want to be? Chapter 33, verse 14. He said, God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. We have rest because of his presence, because of our relationship to his presence. How do we want to live our lives? Are we going to live it under law? Is God going to be some distant being where we're trying our best to do the right things? Try not to do the wrong things? The very distance it's created condemns us to unrest and anxiety and conflict and turmoil. And so we try to sort out all these conflicts and turmoils, not realizing the origin is we don't know the relationship he's created with us through the blood of Christ. Let's be like Moses. We don't need that type of religion, the religion that's about God. We have Jesus Christ alive within us. God says, you have free access to me. Let's go up the mountain in our own heart and experience his glory. His presence going with us is what gives us rest. It's that relationship with him. Just a few more things. God provided miraculously for the Israelites in the wilderness, didn't he? Did that give them rest? Like, you know, you're walking, taking this journey. We're all concerned about provision in life, aren't we? You don't want to starve to death. The Israelites had manna appearing from the heavenly realm that fed them, water out of a rock. Deuteronomy talks about their shoes didn't wear out all those 40 years in the wilderness. God took care of them. But they didn't have rest, did they? Hebrews says they failed to enter into the rest. We can have God's provision, but without a relationship with Him, it doesn't give us rest. God can answer all your prayers and give you what you need and give you that security, but if you don't know Him, you're still going to be in conflict. When we enter into His rest, we can appreciate the provision He gives. But the rest comes from Him first. Then the provision becomes the blessing God means it to be. Maybe we can change how we pray a little bit. Most of our prayers center on provision, don't they? God provide this, God provide that. Maybe we need to say, God, provide yourself to me. Let me know you as you are. And then His bountiful provision will be the blessing He intends it to be. See, the rest is internal, isn't it? No matter how much God blesses you externally, that can never take the place of the internal rest that comes from knowing Him. Now, rest also comes before conquest. Joshua chapter 1, verse 13. Just a quick little verse here. This is when they're preparing to go into the land, and God's giving His charge to Joshua. Joshua 1:13, remember the Lord, the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you what? This land? What comes first? Gives you rest and will give you this land. The conquest that we need to experience in life. What is this all about? His promises. The land, the promised land for us. As it says in the Word, the New Testament, we have these abundance of promises, wonderful promises in Him. Everything He's promised us through His Word. What comes first? We come to know His rest in Him. We come to believe in Him. Then He gives us the conquest, the overcoming life. The promises become real. Remember when the Israelites came up to the land of promise and they saw the giants? And what would they say, the ones that were filled with unbelief? We looked at them and we were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were grasshoppers in their sight. You see, without the rest of knowing the Lord, we come up to the promises of God, and what happens? Everything distorts, doesn't it? Our fears will magnify the conflicts. And because of the poor self-image, we'll look and say, I can't do this thing. And all the problems become giant. Where's the problem? Was the problem that God should have removed the giants before He gave them the land? You know, when He spoke to him way back about a promised land to Moses, I don't hear much about giants. He said, this land is flowing with milk and honey. Sounded like a very easy thing. We just got to walk into it. Oh, by the way, when they got there, a few things you have to remove out of the way. The problem wasn't the giants or the Nephilim in the land. The Nephilim didn't cause all those people to be afraid. They were already afraid, and all they saw were giants, and they forgot about God's provision. They didn't have rest inside. Knowing Him like Moses did, it says that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They looked at those same giants and said, what's the matter with you people? This is the land that God promised. Let's go in and do it. It wasn't that they were by nature any braver. They had a relationship with God. Therefore, they had rest in their heart where they could trust God. And they saw the same land with a different perspective. How do we want to view life? Without that inner rest, problems will always seem too big. We'll seem constantly overwhelmed by everything we face. And we come to God and say, God, why do I seem to have bigger problems than everyone else? Your giants are no different than anyone else's giants. It's how you're looking at them. Let's know Him. Let's find that internal rest that He has for us. One last verse and we'll close. Matthew chapter 11. Simple words from Jesus. Verse 28. Come to me. Again, this deals with relationship, doesn't it? Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. The complexity of the unrest in our lives, who can even figure it out? But the answer is so simple. Jesus isn't saying analyze your problems, figure it out, work your way out of it. He just says, yeah, your lives are a mess. That's because you're a human being. Everybody's in the same boat. Don't worry about it. Come to me and find that living relationship. Focus on me. I will give you rest. What you can't give yourself, I can't give myself rest. I can practice meditation techniques. I can do things that are more healthy for myself. But the rest that we're talking about this morning, the rest of knowing who God is in our lives, we can't do for ourselves. That's why Jesus said and does say this morning, come to me. You know, we have this struggle with how we see ourselves as a ministry in our God. And I think there's different ways of looking at this human experience and trying to find the will of God. One is we know we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we look at the earthen vessel and we say, got to change it. Again, that's that unrest, isn't it? The treasure is fine. I believe Jesus is in there, but boy, this earthen vessel is such a mess. Things would be a lot better if I could change the shape, the form. And so we struggle with the flesh. And where does that get us? A lot of frustration, more unrest. Or we don't see the treasure. Somehow the treasure is off some distant place. Sometimes the way people pray is that as if God doesn't live in them. God, please come and answer, like you're far away and maybe you'll inhabit my life. Okay, both of those perspectives are not in the truth, because the truth is Jesus Christ paid the price for us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is done. He is in you. And also our flesh is identified with the cross. We are new creatures. So what does it mean from a place of rest to be spiritual? It means the life simply growing and shining through the human experience. It's not focusing on punishing or beating down your humanity or your weaknesses. It's focusing on the life that's already there, simply being unhindered and shining through. Again, when you think of it that way, what do you feel inside? It's rest. I don't have to change me. I just have to come to Jesus, because as he comes through, that is God's will. The earthen vessel is never the issue. It's the treasure, and the treasure having his rightful place in your life and being able to manifest through your life unhindered. That's all the operation of God's grace. Where should we put our focus? Where should we put our energy? Learning how to become little children and coming to him each and every day, when we're in conflict, when we're in battle, remembering where the answer is. Lord, this battle's about a lack of rest inside. I'm not at rest. I need to know my relationship with you in a deeper, more intimate way. I come to you. When we have rest, what comes out of that? The overcoming, the conquest, his victory. Amen. Let's stand. This way, there therefore remains a rest for the people of God to enter into. We may be in church. Being in church is not the rest. We have our doctrine, we have our teachings, we have our knowledge. That doesn't bring the rest. There still remains that spiritual level of rest for the people of God to enter into. I feel that that's something that is coming forth right now. And the Holy Spirit is wooing us, saying, find that place of abiding in my rest. believe in me, find the rest. Lord, this is what we hunger for this morning. We admit and face how our own striving, no matter how sophisticated, no matter how well-intended, our own human striving can never achieve your purposes. But Lord, we believe in you. We come to you. Bring us into that place of rest that you prepared from long ago, that special relationship that we can be your unique possession in the world. Draw your people forth into that, Lord, out of our busy lives, out of our busy religious lives. Draw your people into that place of revelation of knowing you and being at rest in you. Everyone said,
amen.
Bless one another. We're dismissed.
Amen.